34 years ago, the nation saw its first fish consumption advisory. The state of Michigan warned people not to eat too much fish from Lake St. Clair, which sits between Lakes Huron and Erie, not too far from Detroit. Michigan environmental officials discovered high levels of mercury in many kinds of fish. Dow Chemical was dumping 200 to 1,000 pounds of mercury a day through a pipe straight into the St. Clair River. John Hesse worked for the Michigan Department of Natural Resources back then. Hesse and his colleagues found that people who ate fish from the lake twice a week or more had unsafe levels of mercury in their system. Hesse says in the U.S., the biggest mercury danger is to unborn babies whose mothers eat contaminated fish.
In children exposed at an early stage, they have a slower developmental pattern. Onset of walking might be affected, learning disabilities that might be very subtle, but still affecting the child's potential.
The government has stopped a lot of that kind of pollution, but mercury is still a big problem. Today, coal-fired power plants are the largest source of mercury pollution. The Bush administration is calling for a cap-and-trade program to regulate mercury emissions. Here's how cap-and-trade works. The cap part sets national goals for reducing pollution, and it doles out pollution credits to each power plant based on those goals. The trade part of cap-and-trade lets industries buy, sell, or bank pollution credits to stay under federal limits. It's a lot like trading commodities in the markets. For example, a company that pollutes over the limit can buy credits from companies that pollute less. Every plant might not become cleaner, but nationwide, mercury pollution would still be reduced. Such a program's been in place since 1990 for sulfur dioxide, a main component of acid rain. Ohio-based American Electric Power is the biggest player in the sulfur dioxide trading game. The company's Dale Heidloff says emissions trading is good for industry and for the environment.
There was actually an incentive for utilities to very early in the program over-comply, reduce emissions more than the law required, bank those allowances or those credits, and then trade them either with other facilities within your own company or with external parties whose cost of control is higher.
In fact, sulfur dioxide emissions trading has saved American Electric Power 20 to 30% of what it would cost to retrofit all of its plants. Heidloff and others in the energy business say the EPA's cap-and-trade plan is the right way to deal with mercury, too. They say it's better than traditional programs that demand expensive upgrades on every plant. Heidloff says there's no proven technology to reduce mercury emissions that will work everywhere.
So what the allowance trading system does for mercury is it allows us to innovate. It allows us to achieve the environmental requirement at a lower cost, but also through a variety of different means.
There's one major difference between a cap-and-trade program for sulfur dioxide and mercury. Mercury is toxic to people. Environmentalists and people who've studied mercury say there's more at stake here than just economic costs. David Gard is with the Michigan Environmental Council. He says there is technology available today to cut mercury emissions. Gard says municipal and medical waste incinerators have used it to cut mercury pollution by 90%. But Gard says power companies won't embrace that because installing the equipment would cost more money. Gard calls the Bush administration's less restrictive cap-and-trade programs a gift to the energy industry.
The percentage reductions that they're proposing are well below what we know available technology and near-term technology can deliver. And also for one of their proposals, it would delay reductions by almost a full decade out to 2018, when really we should be expecting major reductions from these sources by 2010.
Gard also worries that a cap-and-trade program could worsen mercury hotspots, places where contamination is more concentrated. He says under cap-and-trade, companies could pick and choose which plants in their system to upgrade. Gard says that could leave some communities with dirty air and big health concerns. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Erin Toner.